Welcome to another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers. This is Alexis Ray. I hope you're having a wonderful day, all that happy stuff. I've got a wonderful guest with me today. Tammy Crea is an amazing woman on so many levels that I almost don't know where to start. So I'm actually going to let her introduce herself. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's a delight to have someone like you here. You have an extensive background in sales, and we'll get to that. But what I love about you is that you have had an entrepreneurial spirit that I've never seen in someone. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, basically, my background starts a very long time ago, when I was 12, and I was selling greeting cards door to door, and then proceeded through high school and into college, and I started my first business a month before I graduated from college. And that was in publishing and graphic design. I graduated in English and journalism, and I wanted to write. I'd been writing for local newspapers and things like that. So I started a business with my mother and my sister, actually, but it was my idea.
Can I interrupt a second?
Sure.
How is it that you ended up on that? Like, why didn't you open, like, I don't know, an ice cream store? Like, how did you make a decision like that?
Because when I was 5 years old, I was hiding in a closet writing little stories.
What a great story. Were you really?
I really was.
Oh, that's adorable.
You know, and when I was eight, I was still, the thing was, is that we moved some of my parents were getting a divorce, and we lived with my grandparents for a year, and we didn't have any privacy. And my grandfather had this front hall closet that had like a mail slot in it. So you could open it up and there was light. And it was a private place. So I would take my little notebook and my pen and or pencil back then and go in the closet and write. I was a closet writer.
Oh, but a buck. There it
so,
is.
Seriously, by the time I was very small, I wanted to be a writer. And I mean, my goal of my future was that I was going to be a magazine writer and, you know, live in Paris or something. And which is not what happened, but that was okay because it got me into the field and that was where I wanted to be. And so when I started my business, what I started really was a magazine, a local magazine that was about parenting because I was coupling with my sister and my mother. My mother had a master's degree in education, was a kindergarten teacher, taught parents how to parent. So it made sense for her to come on board and help with the magazine. The crazy thing was, is back then the Mac didn't exist. This was 1982. And we had a lease for $50,000 worth of equipment in order to actually do typesetting.
Oh, that's a lot back then.
It was a huge amount of money. And we had to pay this lease every single month. And so we ended up as a graphic design company doing layout and design for other companies for the simple reason that we were really bad at selling ads back then. And we had the back cover of our magazine. We used to put, we can do typesetting on it because we never had a back cover ad.
So let me ask you something. Let me just ask you something about that, because sometimes as an entrepreneur, we don't even know to look past our current, say, tray of talents and mm-hmm. realize, oh my gosh, there's so much more that I need to know.
Oh yeah.
So you're, you know, closet writer, and now you're coming out and you're publishing something. Did you realize that having to sell ads was going to be part of it, and you just figured, oh, I'll just learn it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
basically, I had a mentor. I had a guy that owned a neighborhood newspaper that I used to write his front cover articles for. And I used to do business profiles where I would go in and interview business owners and write articles about their business. And he always said to me, you know, you're way too smart to get stuck in the corporate world. You need to start your own thing. And he helped me with the idea that even our first issue, we used his typesetting equipment before we got our lease and got our first issue out that way. And it always seemed on the surface that going out selling ads would be so easy, but then I discovered it wasn't. And it was a lot of work and it was something that needed to be learned. And eventually we got better at it. But what we got really good at was selling graphic design. So
that was out of the blue, huh? Isn't it funny how things show up like that?
Oh, no question. My life has been full of that. My life has been full of things just kind of morphing into something else and showing up as whatever it was that they were going to show up as.
That just shows you have all those traits to be flexible and resilient and teachable and quick to learn, adaptable, all those
things. Not giving up, refusing to give up.
Perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Yeah, we did that from, really it was 82 to 89. And then the thing was in 1987, the mat got put on every secretary's desk and all of a sudden our entire business got completely gutted and changed. And that was at the same time that I, in 1989, had my son, my oldest son. And we got together, my mother, my sister and I, and decided that it was time for us to move on. And we closed the business and I moved home because I wanted to raise my son. And went freelance. And I did a number of things through the 90s. I did graphic design for a number of different publications. I started a nonprofit where we went into the schools and we had kids write. And then we published a newspaper that we sent home in the backpacks to the parents.
What?
With the kids.
Wait, hold on, hold the phone. That's fascinating. Were you able to make money doing that?
We got some grants. We actually got a grant from the Gannett Foundation that publishes USA Today.
Oh my gosh.
And I actually started on Saturdays. I taught a journalism class to middle schoolers to teach them how to write news stories, not just writing skills. But we got reports from the parents and the teachers that the grades were going up. So we were actually making a difference in kids' lives. And we were giving them, we started a high school paper and an elementary school paper, and we did that in the 90s. And I was still doing graphic arts on the side to various publications. And then in the late 90s, well, in 92, I had my second son, and I was doing all this from home. And then in the late 90s, my husband started a store, which was an antique and consignment store. And the little town that he started the store in, we didn't like the advertising opportunities. So I started a direct mail magazine, monthly magazine, to support his store. Wow. And then that went really, really well. And the graphic design, outside graphic design, was kind of drying up. So I eventually had five different magazines that I was producing in different towns around the area that we just did direct mail. And I had a sales staff and did that, did the layout myself because the 80s taught me how to do layout. And then in 2008, the world crashed, or the United States crashed, and I ended up with literally, you know, tens of thousands of dollars owed to me because I had 30-day billing, and I had to reformat everything.
Oh my goodness.
So I contracted down to just three zones at that time, and I ended up in business coaching because what I would do is I would go in and I would get the business owners, I'd teach them how to market and how to, you know, grow their business so they could afford to advertise with me. So there was a, you know, underlying motive to all of my business coaching. And I did that and I eventually realized that print was dying and unfortunately I couldn't sustain that. But I discovered that I really, really loved talking to business owners. And so then I kind of moved into the online world and discovered, you know, strategy sales. Selling, you know, higher ticket products and helping business coaches and consultants online that needed someone to sell their product and or their program. And I love doing that. I mean, and that's just something that I really found a niche in. And then I moved forward with a partner because what happened is as we were selling for these coaches and consultants is that they would gear up and they would have great programs and we would be ready to sell and it would be wonderful. But then there would be a breakdown.
What's the biggest problem that you see happening right now?
The biggest problem I see happening right now in the online world, in particular with coaches and consultants, is a marketing problem. And this is what I found from selling their products, is that they would have a wonderful program. It would help people, it would help businesses, you know, whatever was their zone of genius was just absolutely wonderful. But really, these coaches and consultants are really bad marketers frequently. So we would be there, we would be gearing up in order to sell their product. They would do a big launch or they would, you know, start a new program. And the leads just wouldn't come in. And so there was this disconnect between the coach that was doing this wonderful program, the people that could sell this program and bring it into the world and bring it to a lot of different people, but we couldn't get the people to us. So I was working with another woman at the time, Abigail, and she and I formed a company together, Launches Made Simple, in order to help coaches and consultants figure out how to bring in leads. And what we've done is specialized in Facebook and LinkedIn in order to help people with their marketing programs.
Perfect. I love it. That's really strong. And that's exactly what people need, because marketing's everything and everything is marketing.
Indeed. It really is. That's what it comes down to.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so being able to solve that problem for coaches and consultants as the marketer that you are, or will be, or whatever, how does this show up for them? How do you actually work with your ideal client?
Basically, the way that we work with our ideal clients is we go in and we do a deep dive into where is their marketing right now. We look at what assets they have. In other words, do they have a funnel? Do they have a landing page? Do they have tracking? Do they know where their clients are coming from? Do they even know who their ideal client really is? We work with them to solve all of those problems on the front end. And then we set up a marketing program using usually Facebook advertising in order to bring the clients to them that are interested in hearing about their services. And if the coach consultant does not want to handle this themselves, then we can even do their closing sales for them, or we can find someone that will work with them and be a commissioned salesperson.
Pow.
So we really go from A to Z in helping these people market.
I didn't mean to talk over you with my enthusiasm. A to Z with literally everything that they need so they can do what they do best.
Well, exactly. Coaches and consultants need to stay in their zone of genius. And marketing is not their zone of genius for most of them. I'm not saying there aren't some really good ones out there, but they're trained in coaching or consulting. They are not trained marketers.
No, and most people aren't.
Exactly, and I love it.
You're a good person to have in one's camp, that's for sure. You are. I love the marketing part for sure too. And I'm in awe of your ability to do sales. And then, you know, there's so many ways that we can do sales avoidance. I need to research this thing again. I'll be back.
Well, and that's the funny thing is that I talk to so many people that are literally sitting there going, oh, I have 5 calls on my schedule today. I don't want to pick up the phone. Suddenly the phone feels like it's a 100-pound weight. And for me, I look at my calendar, I only have 5 calls. Really? Can't I have more? Because I get up in the morning and look at it and go, who am I going to talk to today? What is going to be their story? How can I help them? It's just so much fun.
Oh, I love that. You just mentioned something so important, Tammy. And that is, first of all, you're intrigued by people's story. I know, based in who you are, that you want to help them, that would almost seem like a motivation for you. And that is the mindset that so many, like coach of coaches say, you've got to have that mindset where you realize that you have value to offer. Don't let them off the hook. You don't have to badger them, but don't let them off the hook because they're uncertain that you can help them. Just define the value more, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think this comes back from my journalistic training is the reason that I love people's stories so much. I always want to hear their story. I've always been that way. And so when I'm talking to someone about a sale, it's not about the sale. It's about who they are, where they are at that moment in their life or in their business. And how can the person that I'm working with, how can this help them grow? How can this help them succeed? So it has to be all about the story, because I have to know who they are before I can figure out what's actually going to help them.
Yeah, as I like to say, the who that is you behind the what that you do.
Right, exactly.
And the how is your special sauce.
Right? No question about that.
Yes. So yeah. Your excitement and enthusiasm combined with your sincerity would make you awesome at what you do. Like, really?
Well, I don't know that I'm awesome at what I do, but I enjoy it and I have a great deal of success with it.
I'm going to say something here. I know that you have testimonials from people that are impressed with, impressed as could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No question about that. I mean, I love working with people, and I have a number of people. Actually, I had a client that said to me, I love listening to your sales calls because they're just like an art form.
Wow.
So it was really fun.
That is such a compliment. Have you ever considered teaching people how to do what you do?
No, absolutely not. I am not a coach. I don't have the patience for it. I can help people when I work with a client, when I work with a marketer and I am trying to help them figure out what their marketing plan is, then I can teach them what I know by helping them. But actually coaching someone to do it themselves, that's not my zone of genius at all.
There are definitely people out there who do that. And you know, having walked, walk the plank, walk through the, sometimes it feels that way, the process of, hey, I have a zone of genius. I know that this helps people. Let's do this. And, you know, have no idea what's behind that moment and that decision. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many moving parts, aren't there?
Oh, yes. There definitely are. There are many, many moving parts in any marketing campaign. And this is why I do a done-for-you service rather than a coaching service. When it comes to marketing, I am not in that zone of genius of teaching someone else, taking them by the hand and saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, and it will succeed. I am really much better in marketing at talking to someone and saying, how can I help you? And then doing it for them so that things are set up correctly so that they can do their zone of genius instead of trying to figure out what marketing they need and how to do it. And I can just take that over for them and provide them with everything that they need.
That's so good. There's also, you know, that one more piece, which is that coach on the phone, mm-hmm. and, you know, being able to create a sale for their product that you got in the door, or person, potential buyer that you got in the door, which is half the battle. It's half the battle.
It is. Definitely is. But again, that's why the idea behind our marketing plan is all done for you, because this is really the dichotomy that we've seen is coaches that are moving out of what they know into trying to do something that they don't know and hate. And it doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't. It transfers on the phone too.
It does. Like,
the poor guy who finally got to the phone with you is already a nervous wreck. And then the coach is like, I hate doing this. I love what I do, but I hate this part. The client's going to be like, it's not going to work.
And it doesn't very well.
It doesn't. So. And it's such a shame, because there's people out there who need what people have to offer. You know, I believe that we all have a story to tell, and it's actually why we live, to tell about it.
Oh, I agree. Yes, very much so. And everybody's story is unique and interesting. There are so many people in this world, and they all have unique gifts. They all have unique stories. They all have something to contribute. The story just has to be told, and it has to be brought out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. In my line of work, Tammy, one of the things that I'm about to launch in a new course is helping people to deal with that moment where they go, imposter syndrome, you know, because mm-hmm. that transfers through a voice.
Oh, definitely. It definitely and, does.
Yeah. So, in, you know, just trailing on to what you just said, the immediate remedy is actually, guy or gal, you're not an imposter, because you're actually the only person with that story. There's nothing fake about that.
No. You know,
at all. It's like, got so much integrity.
It's very, very true. And right now in sales, one of the things that I love the most is a trend towards what's called authentic selling, where coaches that are actually coaching salespeople are saying, be yourself. And don't, and here's my problem. I've never figured out how to be anybody but myself, good, bad, or ugly. Right. I don't know how to be anybody else. And so when I sell, you get me. You get whatever it is that you get from me. And yeah. Sometimes I'll literally go off of a sales script and just simply go, that has to stop. You have to do something different. Listen to what you're saying, which is not necessarily the way that they teach you how to sell. But sometimes you just got to shake things up in order to get someone out of their own head and out of their own complacency. They need to realize that the story that they've told themselves for so long is no longer benefiting them.
Oh, so that's a different story. So, okay, because people have a story that mm-hmm. needs to be told. Mm-hmm. So you're referring to...
Okay. What I'm referring to in this instance with trying to kind of pattern interrupt on a sales call is that people always have a narrative in their own head as to what something is going to be. In other words, with interpersonal relationships, if someone walks in a room, someone you know well, when you first look at them, you've got a story in your head of what they're going to say, what they're going to do, what they're going to be like. Sometimes that story isn't real any longer. Maybe they were like that a year ago, but maybe they've changed. And what I've found with coaches and consultants is as they become a coach, their inner narrative changes of who they are because they've learned so much, they've grown so much. And sometimes they still have pieces of an old narrative in their head. Things such as, well, I don't know how to sell, or I can't help that person because I don't know how, even though they were taught in when they became a coach how to help that person. So in order to get marketing really on track, what you have to do is you have to change that narrative. You have to help them to understand that the story that they have in their head is a story that needs to be told in a positive way to the public. So you have to help them overcome the fact that they don't want to sing their own praises. You have to help them overcome the fact that they don't have, they believe they don't have testimonials when they do, and you have to help them to get that. You have to help them change that story in their own head. Just what you were talking about with your new program, the imposter syndrome. Many new coaches really have that syndrome, even though they have a gift that they need to bring to the world. And one of the things we do with our marketing is we help them change that narrative so that they can bring their gift into the community. So that's part of our zone of genius as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. The other part that you mentioned is I coined a word, brand standing. I also coined ogrely because that's how I look in the morning. Seriously, ogrely. And your Urban Dictionary was like, yeah, that's good. I was like, agreed too quickly on that one. But brand standing as opposed to grandstanding. Mm-hmm. And even this morning, I woke up with an idea about story selling. So that it's being able to share your story without coming across like a used car salesman.
Exactly.
An amateur's guide to sounding like an expert is.
That's an excellent idea.
Thank you.
And that really is because, again, you learn more and more as you go through life.
Yeah.
And everybody has life stories.
Yeah.
A lot of times people don't understand that what they've experienced in the past, whether it's raising kids, whether it's a corporate job, whether it's a marriage, whether, you know, whatever experiences that they have shape who they are. And all of that needs to go into their story because it shapes who they are as a coach as well.
And all they're doing is telling the truth, and it's how you express it. And that's why I brought up grandstanding, because it's a whole lot different than grandstanding.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, people are just like, oh, I just sound like I'm arrogant or whatever. I'm like, no, not really. If you just share with what from the heart instead an empty kind of like, rah, 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 like a used car salesman with a megaphone, you know.
Well, and that's back to the idea of authentic selling, which is basically, because a coach, when they are working with someone, they're still selling themselves as they're coaching. So it's the idea of being authentic. It's the idea of helping someone in a way that you really feel that you can understand through your training, through your life experience, through everything. So that has to go into the marketing. And again, this is why the done for you service that we offer in marketing, because it's really, really hard to do this for yourself because you pull back. You try and be something that maybe you're not quite that because you want to appear a certain way. We can cut through that.
Yeah, there's nothing, I think there's nothing more valuable than insights from the outside.
Yes.
And as you know, certainly you want to have a qualified source taking a look, to tell you got spinach in your teeth or, you know, maybe you're missing something about yourself that another person can see and better put together, you know, because you're so close to it.
It's very hard. Yes.
So valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then being able to title things correctly and really represent what you've got going on. There's so many moving parts.
There are so many moving parts and there's so many moving parts in life because there's moving parts in coaching. There's moving parts in marketing. There's moving parts in fulfillment. All the way down the line, yes. there's so many moving parts. It's a wonder sometimes that they all can kind of align and click together.
That's but the fantasy.
Yeah, but they can. They really can.
And I know that you know that they can because you've worked for some rather big names and you've seen that it works.
Indeed, I have. Yes, I have through other companies that I've worked with. I have had the pleasure of selling for the Zig Ziglar Foundation. Wow. For many national brands that are out there for, you know, I don't know how many names that I want to drop because I'm not okay. really a name dropper.
But guys, I just want to say this, guys listening, they're big names.
I love the people that I've had the opportunity to get to know and work with because everybody has the same challenges, but everybody has the same idea behind what they're doing, which very simply is to help people in whatever way that they are there to do this, whether it be, you know, I've sold how to develop group courses. I've sold how to get your LinkedIn working for you. I've sold, personal transformation in how to save your marriage. I've sold for so many different areas and so many different companies in different ways. And I have learned something from every single person that I've sold for. I've personally gained knowledge and grown from the experience of doing the sales. And I'm not just talking monetarily.
Sure. How could you not?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something to give the listeners a tip. Oh, bugger. I was so wrapped in what you said, I forgot. I totally forgot. Oh, well. I really wanted to ask you this question. It's a burning question that you could help. Do you have any particular tips for people that are wanting to up their game? Is there something that they could do at home or, you know, on their own as a, you know, building their business that you might like to offer the listeners?
Absolutely. I really would. I believe that anybody that's getting into business and is looking at how do I start? How do I up level? How do I get to where I really want to be? It all starts with determining who your ideal client is. That's absolutely number one, is decide who that one person out there is that you would want to work with. And then you base everything off of that avatar. It's a construct. Take the people that you know in your life and take the pieces of all of them that absolutely are the perfect things that you can address, that you can work with, write it all down on a piece of paper, and then develop a person in your head, name them, give them a background, give them a home, give them a family, give them hobbies, drill down as deep as you can, 20 levels down. Decide what color hair they have. I mean, everything about this person so that they become real in your eyes. And then everything you do is built around, would this person like that? Would this benefit that person? That's the first step any business should take.
Begin with the end in mind, huh?
Yep.
I have a question for you. I've read an interesting quote, and this is a challenge. We are such a quickly evolving world now. There's new things, new ways, new ideas, ahas, there's elevated consciousness. There's, you know, people just coming in with stuff people didn't even know they needed or could benefit from. And, you know, as a fairly decent background in sales and marketing myself, one of the pillars was you don't create a demand, you feed it, you fill it. Mm-hmm. However, and here's the quote. It was Henry Ford who said, if I asked the people what they wanted, they would have told me a faster horse.
Right.
Because nobody.
That's what he gave them, really. That's what he gave them. I mean, let's think about how a car is fast is being designated. It's horsepower.
True story, but you get the point, right?
I do get the point.
Because nobody had envisioned an automobile.
No, no one knew what it was.
No.
Brand new.
No. So do you... and I know I'm just kind of springing this on you, but for the person that has something that other people aren't even aware of, is there hope for them? Can they create interest?
Of course they can, because you have to tell people why they want it. So back to Henry Ford building a car. No one knew what a car was, but everybody wanted a faster horse. Well, there's only so far you can go with breeding a horse. So you have to look at what can convey you faster than an animal. And Henry Ford came up with the car, which is absolutely amazing to me.
I know.
But if someone has something that they can show why this is going to be the better horse kind of idea, and they have tested it in the sense of this works, then you can take that data and you can take their personal avatar and you can build that into a marketing campaign that tells people why they do need this. I mean, come on. Who needed Amazon? Who needed Netflix?
Right.
Who needed a cell phone even? Who needed any of these things or envisioned that these things could be possible? Mm. Somebody did.
Mm. Mm. So basically these are conveniences that, you know, life has gotten better, shorter, sweeter, supposedly.
But seriously, I mean, Blockbuster was a really big deal at one time.
Yeah, it was. It was everything.
And nobody trusted buying stuff online.
No.
And now, I mean, what do? You need something, where do you go? Everybody goes to Amazon.
Yeah. Payless Shoes is closing. I know. That's my source.
I know. It's terrible.
I was going to create a line of shoes. This is so off the topic, but I was going to create a line of shoes with the acronym WEWS, WOOS, and it stood for Wide Enough Women's Shoes. Because
that would be cool.
I'm just saying, like, there's such a need.
I agree.
And they filled it, and now it's gone. So something's going to have to come in its place. But getting back to raising awareness for people that maybe, you know, your widget is actually going to benefit them. Is that a marketing campaign in itself, is creating a demand?
Oh, sure it is. Absolutely. Creating a demand through a marketing campaign has been done time and time and time again. This is done all the time in the food industry. Think about it. We're back to the idea of the impossible burger. Who needed a plant-based hamburger? Who wanted hamburger? Restaurants can't keep it on the menu anymore because there's so much demand for this. Wow. Branding, marketing. Now everybody knows that they need a plant-based hamburger. And now this is developing plant-based bacon, which is like wrong, but
right. Yeah, well, and that all came around from expanded awareness of, ooh, what's that ham made of? Or, ooh, you know, what's happening to the cows?
The
something
pink
called
slime
mad cow? What?
You know, when they found out about the pink slime that was being put into hamburger and things like that, people started to go, yeah, no, I don't want to eat that. So, you know,
yeah.
So we're murdering lots of plants.
Right? It's a little less, I don't know, injurious in my head anyway, at least.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something else that I would like for you to just kind of, another tip, if you don't mind leaving with the listeners. And that is simply the idea of being able to name your niche. Mm-hmm. And let's imagine that someone comes to you, Tammy, and this just happened to me yesterday. So I already have the, anyway, here's the story. She put a poll out there in a coaching group and said, "I'm gonna be a parent's coach. What names would be good?" And so people were coming up with the perfect parent coach or empowered parents or supportive parent coach. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, when naming a new anything, you do need to do that first. It's good to get out to your list and it's good to get suggestions and ideas.
Yeah.
And then you look for an expert. And to be completely honest with you, I'm not the expert in that one. My partner is. She's a fantastic brander. And I would talk to you because you come up with stuff like crazy.
Thank you.
So that if you're naming something, the name is absolutely huge. And here's an example of a naming gone wrong. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I had a car. The name of the car was Nova, which, you know, was a big star kind of thing, right? But in Spanish, Nova means no go, no va.
Right. Correct.
So, and the car had the worst pickup speed I've ever had. So honestly, you have to look at all the different ramifications of naming, not just in yourself here in the United States, but also where might you end up? You've got to take the exploration out the edges when you're naming anything.
Brilliant point. Brilliant point. Wow. That's so smart. That's not something I would have considered for, you know, a USA-based coach, but that doesn't mean anything anymore. We can have clients everywhere.
Exactly. So you better make certain of what your name means in at least the major languages out there. You know, Google Translator is a great tool.
Oh, that's brilliant. And the reason that I brought it up in this conversation with you is because somebody's going to come to you with this stack of them and go, here I am. And they may or may not be very crystal clear at all. They be murky. And that was honestly the first thing I said to her is, who's your client? Who are you serving? Well, parents. Now, you know what it ended up being? Essential skills for single mothers with special needs children in primary school. You want to talk about niche down. I said, sweetie, you got to talk right to that lady, right?
That's your avatar. That's exactly who you build in the very beginning of your business. You have to, anytime that you are looking at marketing, you have to niche down. That's the idea of building that perfect avatar.
Not one of the people that participated in that conversation. See, she was doing the right thing, asking, what do you guys think? But not one of them has a marketing mind.
Right.
That none of them.
Drill it down. Yeah.
You know, so finding an expert like you is so perfect for what people want to do. And then to have you do the sales closing because of all your experience, how could somebody, I mean, how do you say no to that? I'm just saying. No, for real.
When it comes to working with companies, we are happy to do sales closing to test it. But one of the things that we really offer is the ability to get them hired and trained their own dedicated commission-based salespeople, because obviously we can't take on every client.
Right.
We help them develop the script and get things moving and things like that. But the being in this world as long as we have, we know we have contacts with people that specialize in doing that, in training, hiring, and supporting commission salespeople. So we use our resources to bring those to the company as well.
With you have how many years in this industry, right?
Well, you know, starting in 1980, well, if you really start professionally, 1982. So, you know, I've been around a while.
And you know what's great about you is that you love what you do.
Oh, I do.
And you're really good at it. And those are the traits that somebody should look for, honestly, is somebody who's got boots on the ground, you know, wisdom in their head, a heart as big as yours. What is your big, deep why for what you do?
To help people move forward in their businesses, because so many people get stuck. And to be able to get someone unstuck and to be able to bring their genius to the light is something that just makes me happy. That's really my big deep why, is to take people that have genius that's not being used because they're either too afraid or they don't know how to move forward, and bring it out to the people that can really use it.
Yeah, why would you sit on it, guys?
Exactly.
Only the Fonz had that as a good idea.
Yay.
That was absolutely beautiful. How can people get in touch with you? And might you have anything that, you know, a report or, I don't know, a call, strategy call maybe?
No, I honestly think that too many people are just offering strategy calls, and that's way too general. People can book a call with me or my partner at launchesmadesimple.com. And on the front page, you can book a call with us. And we are happy to offer anyone a total market evaluation so that we can drill down into what you're doing, where it's going wrong, and give you suggestions and ideas. This is a free product. We normally charge $997 for this.
What? But
for Alexis's listeners, we will be happy to offer that for free. And we'll give you a report, and we'll go over it with you with a phone call. And when you book with us, just put in the notes, you know, you saw it on one of Alexis's podcasts, and we'll be happy to do a total market evaluation for you for free.
boom, like, pow, guys, this is so valuable. It's like, girl, you got spinach in your teeth right there. Let me get that. Have somebody tell you that. And that's what you're doing for free. I'm glad I have a seatbelt on my office chair. Like, I would have fallen over. Like, that is such a great offer.
Yeah, launchesmadesimple.com and book a call.
Oh, guys, you have to do this. Launchesmadesimple.com and other show notes will be available to you guys. So I make it easy for you to get in touch with this amazing woman.
Thank you.
You are. What are some of your favorite hobbies and a quote that you want to leave us with?
You know, to be honest with you, I kind of look at sales as a hobby in a lot of ways. But other than that, I mean, I like the typical boring things. I like to read. I like to ride bike. I like to kayak.
Cool.
I live in Minnesota, so my newest hobby is attempting to get out of here in the wintertime.
Yeah, no doubt.
So absolutely. So, you know, success. Follow your dream. Follow your star.
That's beautiful. Who said that? You.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite quote? Because I know you're an avid reader.
I am an avid reader. My problem is that I don't have quotes. And the reason for that is because I read too much and all gets muddled up in my head.
I love your honesty. You know, guys, there couldn't be a more authentic woman full of integrity and experience. And that's why, you know, Tammy, you make it easy to work with you. You make it easy to talk about you. You make it easy to recommend you. You just make it easy because you're a rare breed of combinations of experience and insight and flexibility. I mean, there's just a whole package. Put a bow on it and like, that's just you. You're an amazing woman. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you. It's so much fun to talk with you.
Thank you. Guys, tune in again next week when I'm sure we'll have somebody interesting because I always find them. And in the meantime, take baby steps because that's how you get to a bold move. Live out loud. Talk to you soon.